This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Ed Robertson, hoping you're enjoying this encore presentation of TV Confidential. We'll be back with a brand new edition of the program next week.
Hi, this is Nichelle Nichols, and you're listening to TV Confidential. Aren't we all lucky?
Captain's log, stardate 1710.0. The Starship Enterprise is under heavy attack by an enemy vessel. Phasers, fire, point blank.
The Earth Commander will follow, he must. And when he attacks, we will destroy him.
Permit me the glory of the kill, Commander.
Tomasil. We have him. Move toward him.
We can get just one phaser going.
Phasers, Mr. Spock.
Impossible, Captain.
We have some of the old-style nuclear warheads aboard.
Yes, Commander, but only for self-destruction.
Place one in with the debris.
Ed Robertson, welcoming you to tonight's edition of TV Confidential, a radio talk show about television that is about to say hello to actor, screenwriter, author, and now novelist, Lawrence Fontaine. Most of you listening tonight, folks, especially those who follow the world of Star Trek, know Lawrence Fontaine for his appearances on two of the most famous episodes of the original series, Balance of Terror and Amok Time. I know Lawrence Fontaine as the gentleman that I became friends with about 10 years ago as a result of the Star Trek convention circuit. As I got to know Lawrence, he told me many, many stories about his career in the entertainment industry, not only here in Hollywood, where he worked with the likes of Steve McQueen, James Garner, Irwin Allen, David Janssen, Guy Williams, Rock Hudson, Jack Palance, Cesar Romero, and Suzanne Plachette, but also in such countries as Rome, Israel, Yugoslavia, Spain, and Germany. But Lawrence has lived many lives outside of acting, including real-life adventures as a cowboy in Israel, as a photojournalist in Rome, and as a gold smuggler, believe it or not, in such far-off places as Bangkok and Hong Kong. In many respects, Lawrence has lived an epic life, so I suppose that it is only appropriate that the title of his autobiography happens to be A Vulcan Odyssey. And we will tell you where you can find A Vulcan Odyssey in just a second. But first, Lawrence, welcome to TV Confidential.
Thank you. Welcome to Henderson.
You describe yourself as a gypsy in that you've gone wherever life takes you, career path. You've gone wherever the opportunity takes you. And you've gone from one line of work to another. So being a gypsy, do you find it a little ironic that after 50 years you're mostly recognized for one role?
Which role are we talking about? You mean being married five times? I mean, because that seems to be what everybody talks about.
But
let me tell you that the gypsy thing is also that my mother was Hungarian.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what makes me a gypsy. Then after that, naturally I'd be a traveler and a wanderer and picking up in the middle of the night and taking off. That's what gypsies do.
Well, as I say, it is appropriate because, you know, whether by design or just unintentional, the way life moves sometimes. I mean, you're the type of person that, you know, you settle down for a while, and then when you've decided it's time to move on, whether it's after 10 years in Dallas or 10 years more or less going from one country to another, I mean, you find your way back to wherever your next stop happens to be.
Yeah, exactly. People say to me, where do you like it best? I say, in my hat. That's the truth.
Let's see. I knew you were a photographer.
Uh-huh.
And I knew you were a teacher. I did not know that you once were a dancer. How did that come about?
Oh, I was, yes. When I came out of the Marine Corps, I enrolled at the Dramatic Workshop in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't go into the detail of all the actors that have passed through the Actors Workshop, but I will drop a couple of names: Marlon Brando, mm-hmm. Shelley Winters, Ben Gazzara. I mean, all alumni of the Dramatic Workshop. So it was a great experience, and I was introduced to the dance. Subsequently, after I had left the workshop, I had moved out to Los Angeles, and I had got engaged to a lovely lady who at night would take dance lessons. Mm-hmm. And I would go with her to Eugene Loring's School of Dance on Hollywood Boulevard, and I'd sit there, and she would take her lessons, and then we'd go home. And she would say to me, "Why are you just sitting there? Why don't you take classes?" And she talked about this for months, and finally I broke down. I bought a pair of leotards and ballet slippers, and I enrolled in a beginning class. I started to take ballet lessons. And after about 3 months, my relationship broke up, but I continued to take the lessons. Mm-hmm.
Just to give you a picture, folks, Lawrence is a tall, well-put-together fellow. I mean, you know, he's always been a bodybuilder. He's not bulked up like that, but he's a well-put-together fellow. So picture this, you know, imposing figure, you know, doing ballet. It's kind of an incongruous picture, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. But let me tell you that...
But you did it for love.
I moved into this boarding house, mm-hmm. and two girls were living in the boarding house, and they were ice skaters that came out to Los Angeles looking to break into films as dancers. And they talked me into going to an audition at the Hollywood Bowl. And everybody in town had been to the audition. And I went up there, and I was terrible. I was just absolutely awful. You can imagine, I had been dancing for 3 or 4 months. But it got down to the fact that there were so many dancers that were, I guess the word is, effete,
mm-hmm.
Because they didn't look right dancing next to these women. And the choreographer, Lottie Gosler, called me, and she said, come back to the Hollywood Bowl and sign the contract. And that's how I broke into the dancing, in the ballet company at the Hollywood Bowl. And then, of course, after that, we had the Equity Association. You had a card, mm-hmm. which you use for dancers. And the Screen Extras Guild opened up for dancers,
mm-hmm.
with equity cards. And so then we started to get all the auditions to go to the studios. And that's when I really started to break in, because I danced with Mitzi Gaynor, I danced with Gene Kelly, I danced with Donald O'Connor. So it was great, the dance thing. And at the same time, I had picked up the fencing, so I was doing the stunt work and the dancing.
And
I was making a good living, you know. I worked on Julius Caesar for something like 5 months, Scaramouche. This was great because I was making a fine living, and that's what I was concerned with. Although I was classically trained as an actor at the Dramatic Workshop, and I continued to take classes, it was a while before I could break into the acting, because I didn't want to get away from that income that I was getting from doing the dancing and the fencing.
Which is an important thing to consider, because for many, and there are a lot of actors, there have always been a lot of actors in this town, not all of them are working in a film or stage production. So you do what you can to stay active and to stay and to stay busy and to make a living. And the other thing I'm thinking of, and you talk about this a bit in A Vulcan Odyssey, is that one thing you learned as a dancer is you came to have a greater understanding of movement, which is very important for an actor, regardless of whether you work on stage or film.
Absolutely, yeah.
We're talking to Lawrence Montaigne. Lawrence is best known for his appearances as Ston and Decius in Star Trek The Original Series, which he talks about in his autobiography, A Vulcan Odyssey, which is available on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and wherever books are sold online. This conversation originally aired in August 2012 on TV Confidential. Lawrence Montaigne passed away in March 2017. Stay with us, folks. We'll be right back.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy.
Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at caskers.com.
Lawrence, we talked about some of the different hats and different lines of work that you've done in the course of your career. Let me ask you, what was more treacherous for you, finding yourself in the middle of gunfire, which you were when you were working as a photojournalist in Israel in the 1950s, or working as a screenwriter in Hollywood?
You missed the gold smuggling. You missed all the other good stuff.
We'll get to the gold smuggling.
You reduced it to okay.
We'll get to the gold smuggling.
Yeah, I see. But no, I mean everything in its time. You know, I mean, I didn't plan on going working in a kibbutz and doing some photography and finding myself being shot at and ending up in the hospital. I didn't plan on any of this. At the same time, my career as an actor, I can only say that it was accidental.
I would agree, and that's not meant as a pejorative. It goes back to the gypsy spirit. I mean, you go where life takes you sometimes.
Exactly. And I'm one of the fortunate gypsies. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we were referred to as dancers. Dancers were referred to as gypsies.
Mm-hmm.
Actors later on, who went from job to job to job to job in television, were gypsies.
Mm-hmm.
And I was on that caravan, you know. I was one of the fortunate ones on that caravan. And I just am so thankful every day to be able to look back on my career, because it was, to me, it was so much fun. It was just so gratifying, you know, and the people. And that's why I do the conventions. People keep saying to me, well, why do you go out there and do those conventions? You know, I mean, it's so weird meeting those Trekkies, you know, and stuff like that. And I say, wait a second, you're talking about fans. You're talking about people who have respect for you because of the work you've done.
Mm-hmm.
And they come out to see you, and they talk to you, and they share life experiences with you. Hey, that means a lot. It really does.
I've said this on the program on more than one occasion, Lawrence. The great thing about conventions, whether we're talking about Star Trek conventions, whether we're talking about Comic-Con, you know, whatever type of convention we're talking about, whether you are an actor, whether you're an exhibitor, whether you're, you know, a paying fan, just, you know, going in for the experience for the day, you automatically have something in common with 3, 4, 5,000 people. And it's just a real sense of community. And again, more often than not, it's just very friendly. And as you say, it's a lot of fun, because and especially for people such as yourself, because a lot of times, in addition to reconnecting with fans and viewers, sometimes you end up finding work from it, which is good for an actor.
Well, I wish I could say that I found work from it, but that was not my goal. But I just find it so much fun. I really do. I don't think you've been to the Rio yet, have you? You were at the Hilton, I believe.
Yes, I was at the Hilton once, and about 10 years ago, when the main convention was still held at the Pasadena Convention Center, I went to...
Yeah. But we moved on last year to the Rio,
mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're talking about 50,000 people coming through there on a weekend.
Wow.
This is a big fan base, you know? In fact, while I'm on the subject, can I mention something?
Absolutely.
A few weeks ago, or maybe a couple of months ago, I had the opportunity to be on a panel for a project that Bill Shatner's been working on. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you're familiar with it. It's called Fan Addicts, and it's a pilot that Bill Shatner's put together for reality TV. It's called Get a Life.
Uh-huh.
And it talks about, it addresses the issue of the meanings of many of the shows of Star Trek. What's behind it? I mean, is it just a bunch of actors spouting a lot of lines, mm-hmm. or was Roddenberry thinking beyond that? It's a very different type of venue, and personally, I'm looking forward to it. It was supposed to be something that came out in August, hopefully before the convention. I was very fortunate to Bill had asked me if I would do it, and I was only too glad to do it. Beverly Washburn was also with me. She had appeared in Star Trek mm-hmm. and lives up here. And we did this a panel thing talking about the abstract part of Star Trek. And it was very interesting. And I hope that it takes off. It would be really great.
It's called Get a Life?
Yeah, Get a Life.
Okay.
Get a Life 2.
Get a Life 2, that's right.
I think he did a Get a Life 1.
That's right. It's, yeah, because some years back he wrote a book called Get a Life. But it's interesting because it's an interesting question in that who knows what goes on in the minds of some people, but because Star Trek came, you know, Star Trek was done for network television. It's, I mean, you know this because you worked in it, episodic television. It's get it done fast in order to, you know, get it done fast and get it done on times, and so that you move on to the next one. And there isn't always the opportunity to have something to say the way it is now. But I like to think that even amidst that frenetic pace that the original Star Trek was made back in the 60s, I would like to think that there was some intentionality behind it.
I was not a Star Trek fan. I got to be honest. I mean, you know, I was I did Star Trek because it was a job, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you realize we're talking about something that was done in the 60s, mm-hmm. for 3 years, that today still goes on. I mean, if not in the sense of doing films, but the original Star Trek, people will come by my table and say, you know, the original Star Trek had something that none of the other Star Treks have, and then people start to talk about it and how it had an influence on their life. Now, man, I mean, how many shows can you watch that say, gee, that had an influence on my life? But a lot of people responded to Star Trek and the meaning behind many of those episodes, you know. I don't know. Maybe I'm floating another boat. I don't know how to put it. But it's very interesting that Star Trek did have that effect on some people.
And one of the reasons why Star Trek has, you know, continues to have that effect on so many people is because of our guest this hour, Mr. Lawrence Montaigne. Lawrence played Ston in Amok Time and Decius in Balance of Terror, two of the best and two of the most remembered episodes of Star Trek, the original series. We'll continue our conversation with Lawrence about his life and career before and after Star Trek here on TV Confidential. Ed Robertson, hoping you're enjoying this encore presentation of TV Confidential. We'll be back with a brand new edition of the program next week.
Buying or selling a home can be one of the most stressful things we'll ever do in life, but it doesn't have to be. And no one knows better than our friends at Front Porch Realty Group. Their community of realtors serving the Northern Bay Area of California that cares about their clients as individuals first and foremost. Whether you're a first-time buyer or looking to lease or sell your property in the Bay Area, Front Porch Realty Group will help you through this important transition by providing you with the right information for your situation while lessening the pain. They also work with a network of realtors throughout California who provide the same high caliber of customer service. Call Front Porch Realty Group at 415-886-7411 for a realtor referral near you. You can also visit their website, frontporchrealtygroup.com, for more information on the services they provide, including upcoming workshops and seminars. For more information, call 415-886-7411 or visit frontporchrealtygroup.com. Front Porch Realty Group. They'll find the solution that works best for you.
This Week in TV History now has its own podcast. You can enjoy This Week in TV History with Tony Figueroa on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and wherever else you find podcasts. Be part of our conversation. If you like what you hear, have thoughts on this week's program or have an idea for a future edition of TV Confidential, we'd love to hear from you. You can email us at talk@tvconfidential.net, talk@tvconfidential.net. You can also message us at facebook.com/TV Confidential, x.com/TV Confidential, or at TV Confidential on Instagram. And if you're listening to us on the TV Confidential podcast, please be sure to hit the subscribe button.
This portion of TV Confidential is brought to us by our friends at Front Porch Realty, the community of realtors in the Northern Bay area of California that is committed to finding the solution that is best for their clients. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or looking to sell or lease your property in Northern California, call Karen Strain at 415-886-7411 or visit frontporchrealtygroup.com for more information on how they can help you.